Their theme verse, and that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, is out of 1 Peter 2:9 about being chosen. I'm going to read a little bit more of the passage and then unpack it with you, and hopefully we all walk away challenged and with a bit of bigger understanding of what Peter's talking about in this passage. So let's get into it. He writes, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." This letter is written to Christians living in Asia Minor, many of them resident aliens and foreigners. And they've been told that through Jesus, they are somehow citizens of the kingdom of God, members of God's own household. And this diverse group of people from all over are told, "You are a chosen people, God's special possession." And not just the Jews. The Jews have a history of being called God's chosen people. No, this is a chosen circle that has greatly expanded. In the culture where they lived, which is not Israel, they found that they were vulnerable to abusive treatment from the culture around them. As foreigners, they paid taxes, they contributed to the local economy, but were not allowed to inherit property and were denied legal protection that citizens enjoyed. They were seen as the other, as strangers. And they were outsiders. And this letter is written basically then to outsiders. They had been told, "You're chosen. You're not outsiders in the kingdom of God." Mexico team, likely you saw people, and as Jake described too, living in some tough and poor conditions. You know, it makes me think of the world we live in, and you know, all the people at the border and wanting to come across, wanting to find ways to kind of overcome some of that poverty for their families. Yet when they come, they're seen as foreigners. For many, as outsiders. I know the Mexico team would dare to differ with that description, because suddenly these aren't foreigners, these are friends. These are people that you care about. And as people, Christians who are shaped by the gospel, by the resurrection, basically what you did, Mexico team, and all of us who look at others, you are shaped by the resurrection, then you see others as brothers and sisters in Christ. So really, this Mexico trip was a family visit. And one household of God going to hang out with another household of God. One in Christ, the scripture says. Fellow people of God, chosen people together. Peter in this passage takes a lot of Old Testament passages. Of course, he's talking about the Old Testament because that's what they had in terms of the Bible. In verse 3, he says, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good," it's a reference to Psalm 34. I put it on your outline, or it'll be up on the screen here too. Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. I even like the reference to refugees, refuge, and foreigners belonging. And, you know, when we read the start of this passage, he talked about newborns and spiritual milk. It's a little aside here, but it's interesting that churches in the second and third centuries, when someone got baptized and they came out of the baptism waters, they were given honey and milk. You know, you're a newborn, and here's this honey and milk. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then grow up and mature in your salvation. It's kind of a neat picture, I thought. Peter also then references in verse 7, he references Psalm 118, and we can see it on here. Now to those who believe, the stone is precious, but those who do not believe, and here's the reference, the stone that the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. And it's a reference already in the Old Testament to Jesus, who is the cornerstone, who holds it all together. And Peter also then references in verse 10, Hosea 23. And in verse 10, he describes here, once you were not a people. Remember, he's writing to these people who don't feel like they belong. They're outsiders. Once you were not a people, now you're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you receive mercy. And he's quoting Hosea. I put it on your on the screen as well. Hosea, we read here, I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say you are my God. Ever want to read a bit of a strange book in the Bible? Hosea is that book. It's kind of a crazy story of this guy who has to chase after this woman who's and marry her, and she's unfaithful to him on a number of occasions. And God keeps saying, go get her. Go get her back. And he's making this whole big picture of what he's like and how we're unfaithful, and God keeps chasing after us. And you get this amazing picture. And these kids get these weird names. And, you know, and one of them is, you know, not my people. And, you know, and so when you see this here, you know, God is saying, listen, this is what you're like, but you are my people. And now, and Peter uses that reference, and he's saying to these people who feel like outsiders, you don't feel like you're a people, but you are a people. You're my people. You're my special possession. Yeah, even in this foreign land you find yourself in. It's a beautiful, beautiful image there. And, you know, and these people, you know, they had to almost find their real identity. You have this identity of a label of outsider. And you say, no, that's not your identity. You are a chosen people. You know, these people were baptized in Christ. And now you are a people, a holy people, a special people. The image that's often given is adoption. My wife is adopted, and I've heard other adopted kids say how their parents, when they talk about adoption, they say, you know what, you're really special because we chose you. My wife has told me that story, which makes my birth seem kind of cheap. Because, you know, my mom didn't choose me. She was stuck with me. Now, she might agree. But, you know, this adopted kid, yeah, they chose me. Anyways, there's a beautiful image there where, yeah, God chose you to adopt you, to include you in this circle of chosenness. It's a beautiful image. Paul says it rather well in Romans 8. Look at it with me. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slave. We sang this song just earlier, slaves, about free, no longer slaves. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Again, rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, we are children of God. We are children of God. And we have this sense of belonging. This beautiful picture of adoption into the life of Christ. We're family. Whether we're in Mexico, whether we're here, wherever we be, we're family. The church universal. You know, then verse 4, there's some references to living stones and cornerstone. We're referred to as living stones. Interesting image if you think about it. You know, living rock. You know, and then you've got Jesus, the cornerstone. Now look at Ephesians 2. I'm going to jump onto that one. Remember, this is written to people who feel like outsiders, foreigners. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You are living stones because of the cornerstone, built to be the temple of God. I love this together statement. I love it. It is a group statement. This salvation is not just a promise to individuals. It is a call to be a people. That's why he says, you are a people. You are a community together in Christ the cornerstone. The living stone imagery invites us to see ourselves together, not just as a random pile of rocks. You as a living stone are here, and you're going to be placed here, and I'm going to be placed here. There's the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and we're built into something. There's a purpose to this. Young stones. Saw a lot of young stones up here. Now you get a few old stones. Canadian stones, Mexican stones, all over the world stones, all put together to image and reflect the cornerstone, Jesus himself. That's what this is. That's what the Mexico trip was about, to reflect that. The trip was a snapshot, a picture of that holy community that we share. And it defines the church not really as a building that we meet in, but a building we have become. And our role is to be a space of people where they see the holiness of Christ in action and they sense God's presence among us. When they hang out with us, they sense something else. And then the writer adds, so now you're a chosen people. Yeah, Jews, Gentiles, Mexicans, Canadians, all kinds of groups here. You're a holy, in fact, you know what you are? You're a holy nation. Whoa. We're getting bigger here. You know what you are? You're a royal priesthood. What? You're people who have received mercy. You've received compassion. Now go out and give mercy and give compassion to those who might be considered outsiders. Mexico team, I was thinking about it. When we sent you off on your way, it would have been neat to describe what's happening as what your work was as priestly activity. And I'm sure you would have thought, what? Priestly activity. How is what we're doing priestly activity? And Peter doesn't really define what this service looks like, but we know it's faith expressing itself through love somehow. Let me describe using Paul's words in a moment here. And I want to tie it to this thought. Those who have gone on mission trips, you know, very typical, you can have it with conferences sometimes too. Used to go to something called Breakforth. And you come back all jacked up, all spiritually pumped. And then you hit the ordinariness of your ordinary life. And I might be able to convince you that the Mexico trip was a priestly experience, but how is going back to school a priestly experience? How is cleaning my room a priestly experience? Right? And then it's like the ordinariness robs you of this mission that you're on. Nadia kind of made reference to that too about coming back. I think that's important to think about. So what does priestly activity look like? Okay, here's how Paul says it in Romans 2, and I chose the message because I love how Peterson describes it. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. And here's for all of us. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, going to school, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Okay. Picture the start of your day. Every day you get up and say, Lord, here's this day and here's me. I'm going to lay it before you. So now you're the priest. You're laying this sacrifice of the day before. before God. All right. Then you do it. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Any of you have that problem? You just live out the cultural life you live out without ever giving it a thought. Pretty easy to do. I know I have struggles with that. Instead, fix your attention on God. Where are you going to focus? You'll be changed from the inside out. I think Jacob, when he describes this sense of being changed inside, right? That's what's happening. Changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You're a priest. Typically in the past, in the Old Testament, especially priests sacrificed. What's the sacrifice? It's you. It's your day-to-day life. You lay it before the Lord, and he takes that sacrifice and does something with it. I encourage all of you, don't let the culture around you tell you who you are. These foreigners, these outsiders, were told that that's all you are. You're an outsider. You don't have rights. You don't have legal status. Yeah, you can go ahead and work here, but you don't belong. And then Christ chooses them somehow. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's own people. People from all over the world. And for them and for us, our identity in Christ is assured. No one can take away your identity in Christ. Never let them. And then I love how Peter describes it. He says, then go, and then and do what? And declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness, because there's plenty of darkness around, into his wonderful light. And you live enlightened lives. And then he says in the end, and then go live in such a good way, such good lives that people take note. Are people taking note of the way you live? Go as a chosen people. And then go tell the others, the strangers, those who feel like foreigners. Go tell them they're chosen to be in God's circle of love, in God's circle of grace. And welcome them into the family of Christ. Let's pray.